Welcome, everyone. My name is John Thomas. I'm the author of a book entitled, You Can Live at Any Weight You Choose. This program and the book is for people who weigh more than they want to weigh. What I'm going to do in this program is tell you how to weigh exactly what you want to weigh. Welcome to our program, The Great Weight Debate. Now, let me tell you up front something you probably already know. No matter what diet or weight loss program you're on, your chances of permanently losing the weight that you want to lose are very close to zero. But again, you already know that. Also, let me put your mind at ease. We are not selling anything. There is nothing to buy. There are no pills, no drugs, no eating programs, no diets to follow, no portions to eat, nor foods or combinations of food to eat, no calories to count, no lifestyle changes to make. You don't have to go to any meetings. You don't have to count any points. If you weigh more than you want to weigh, you've probably tried every diet and weight loss program there is and still weigh too much. Also, this is not a medical program. If you have a medical problem, see your doctor. There's one other thing I should explain up front is that we don't have any sponsors and we're not looking for any. We are paying all the costs of this program and we have nothing to sell you. We're putting on this program because overweight and obesity have become a worldwide problem, and it is our view that no one in the world is doing anything intelligent to change that. The situation is getting worse all the time, but we are going to do something about it. We're doing it now, and it's not going to cost you a penny. What we're going to do, among other things, is examine the real reasons you weigh more than you want to weigh, how you got that way, why you remain at that weight, and why you've been unable to weigh less. Lastly, we're going to explain to you how you can weigh exactly what you want to weigh. However, as you know, you can't solve a problem unless you understand the real nature of the problem. So we're going to delve into the real reasons why you weigh what you do, not what you like to tell yourself, but the real reasons, and why you find yourself unable to weigh less on a permanent basis. Now, this is our first program of many. It will be a weekly program. It is going to be an audience participation program where you can discuss by email the problems you're having with weight and why you can't weigh less than you want to. But for the first program, I'm going to give you an overview of the situation and the problem. Then we're going to discuss the solution. I will later on in the problem give you the email address where you can send in any questions or comments you have. First of all, let's look at the overall situation. 100 million people in the United States are overweight or obese. That's a stunning number. 30 to 40 million people are always on some kind of a diet. And the really strange thing about it is nobody knows what to do about the situation. Everything that everyone has done has failed. More people weigh more than ever. So what's everybody doing? They're looking for somebody to blame. They want to blame fast food restaurants. They want to blame companies that make food. They want to blame people who sell food or serve food. They want to blame schools that serve food to students. They want to blame the teachers, the parents, the children, and fundamentally everyone who eats food. Now, to compound the problem, the lawyers want to get in on the act and sue just about everyone who has anything to do with food. Just what we need, more lawsuits. Now, in the meantime, a multi-billion-dollar industry has grown up to cater to people's desires to weigh less. Billions of dollars are changing hands. Everyone is making a lot of money, and you still weigh too much. Let's look at it. Food manufacturers make all sorts of diet foods. They sell billions of dollars of those foods every year. Lots of people are promoting their own diets. They have different combinations of foods or kinds of foods, which they guarantee you in writing, on television, in the radio, to permanently enable you to lose weight, but somehow it never seems to be permanent. Weight loss groups are flourishing with millions of people as members. They tell you exactly what to eat, how much to eat. They tell you how big a portion you should eat, how many ounces there should be, how many grams. They tell you when to eat and how much to exercise. Some of them even sell you prepared foods, which some groups have delivered to your door. You don't have to walk out. They will deliver the foods to your door, of course, for an exorbitant price. Some people sell liquids for people to drink instead of eating food. Again, hundreds of millions of dollars are changing hands. People sell pills or herbal remedies guaranteed to cause you to lose specific amounts of weight or your money back. And of course, everyone has testimonials from exceptionally attractive people who will swear an oath that they have lost lots of weight. Hundreds of millions of dollars are changing hands. You know, everybody has a guarantee. Everyone has a gimmick. Everyone wants to sell you something. Everyone says that you will lose a lot of weight and look so much better and have a happier life if you buy what he or she is selling. We also have the so-called experts. They are telling us everything that they think we should know about overweight and obesity. They write books. They give lectures. They give speeches. And these people include doctors, professors, nutritionists, and other people with degrees. So where is all this knowledge and all these experts taking us? The fact is that people are heavier than ever. One of my readers suggested that I should call this program, "My Money Is All Gone and I'm Still Fat." Well, I couldn't do that. Another reader suggested that we should call the program, "Never Trust a Fat Doctor," or "Happiness is Seeing Your Doctor at an All-You-Can-Eat Buffet." Well, you know, as tempting as it was and as humorous as it is, I couldn't do that. Now, statistics indicate that over 97% of all people who go on diets gain back the weight they thought they lost. Now, personally, I think that number should be closer to 100%. Just ask yourself, how many people do you personally know who have permanently lost weight? Not people on television, not people who get paid for it, not people in ads, but people you know. And not people who have lost 10 or 20 or 30 pounds, people who have permanently lost weight where they used to weigh a certain weight and now they weigh 20 or 30 pounds less. The long and the short of it is everybody has failed. People weigh more than ever, notwithstanding the billions of dollars changing hands every year and the hundreds of millions of dollars that people are reaping from this. So what do the experts say now? These are the same people who have been telling you exactly what to do. You know what they want to do? They want to blame everybody. One expert says that we live in a toxic food environment, and that's why we weigh too much. You know, that's really foolish. That person probably has a problem saying no to food. That's why he got that opinion. Other experts say the portions of food we are served are too big, and that's why we weigh too much. That really stuns me. Apparently, those experts think people are unable to distinguish between a large serving and a small serving, or that if someone got a small serving to begin with and wanted more food, they wouldn't know how to ask for more food. It isn't the portions. Now, experts are arguing what diet works best, whether it's high fat or high carbohydrate or low fat or low carbohydrate, or a combination of them. Everybody is calling the other person wrong. And of course, there are hundreds of millions of dollars at stake. Other experts are for and against the government's healthy eating pyramid. The government's healthy eating pyramid is a list of foods in order that the government thinks you should eat. They recommend specific types of foods, and people are saying, yes, that's right, and other people are saying, no, that's wrong. Now, to compound the problem, the American Medical Association, which is one of the premier associations in America, in its April issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, says obesity is a medical problem. Then they add, and I want you to listen to this carefully because I'm going to quote it, they say, "Obesity must be recognized as a chronic condition for which no cure can reasonably be expected." That's the end of the quote. Now, can you believe that one? Here you have doctors writing books promising and guaranteeing you that you're going to lose weight, and the American Medical Association saying, you know, that's really impossible. Now, which is it? Is the AMA right or the doctors right? The simple fact is that all the experts are wrong. You know, you have to be a little careful about experts. Don't forget that before Columbus, all the experts thought the earth was flat and Columbus would sail off the end of the world. They were wrong. Centuries before that, the experts were sure the sun revolved around the earth. They were wrong. And you know, the experts are wrong now. Let's expose some of the results of this wonderful expert advice we've been getting. In Fortune magazine, the issue of February of this year, they published an article about the Union Pacific Railroad. The Union Pacific Railroad, they say, has like 48,000 employees, mostly middle-aged men, and a significant portion of those people are overweight. So 16 years ago, they decided to do something about it because they thought obesity was not only bad for the employees, but it was bad business. So in 1987, they opened up an 8,000 square foot gym that offered everything from treadmills to advice from exercise specialists. They made deals, the railroad did, with 450 gyms around the country to give free access to employees scattered around 23 states. They also set up a peer-to-peer mentoring program for overweight employees. Now, that's, you would think, a wonderful thing to do, and you say to yourself, you know, that really should be terrific. Those people will probably end up weighing a lot less than they did before. But the fact of the matter is, and again, I'm quoting from Fortune here, but from 1995 to 2001, the percentage of obese Union Pacific employees rose from 40% to 52%. Then they want to know, how's that possible? Well, you know, it's possible because they were doing the wrong thing. Now, in an article in the New York Times a couple of years ago called Fat of the Land, they reported the following, and I'm going to read this to you also. A study of 692 teenage girls in Northern California found that those who exercised and dieted with the express purpose of losing weight were more likely to end up obese. This was a bizarre finding, said one of the investigators. Dieters were 2 to 3 times more likely to show onset of obesity than non-dieters. Similar results were found among adults who diet. And I've just read that to you from the New York Times. Another article in the New York Times last year suggested that the reason people regain weight they lost was because of a certain hormone. Now, people, can you believe this one, are having their stomachs stapled every year or effectively surgically removed, bariatric surgery, because they cannot control the amount of food they put in their mouths. You know, this is tragic. If any of the experts were right or even close to right, none of these surgeries would be necessary. People would still have their stomachs. All they would have to do is stop putting all that food in their mouth and they'd have the stomachs. And instead, they've been surgically removed, and you see the people, celebrities on television, telling us how wonderful it was to have their stomachs removed because for the first time in their lives, they're able to weigh less. Well, the fact of the matter is, all they had to do is learn how to control the amount of food they put in their mouths, and none of those things would have happened. Not one. And ARP magazine, the American Association of Retired Persons, ran a story about the obesity epidemic among Americans over 50. They said the government had given everyone bad information what to eat, and they also said that people ages 60 to 74 experienced the highest increase in obesity of any age group. We're going to be right back. Thank you very much.
This weight is weighing on my heart. This weight is tearing us apart. This weight.
This is John Thomas. Welcome back to the program. When we took the break, I was speaking about the American Association of Retired Persons. and the epidemic of obesity among people over 50, which is the fastest growing rate of obesity of any age group in the country. There's one more document that I have, which I'm going to read to you. It's an editorial in the Sunday New York Times of May of this year. It's entitled "Pass the Butter, Please." It speaks about the Atkins diet and the low-fat diet. Now, what they did here, it was a test done, apparently written up in the New England Journal of Medicine. They put half the people on the Atkins diet and half the people on the conventional low-fat diet. And here is what the New York Times said about the comparison. And again, I'm reading to you. So they said, the New York Times said, the only trouble is neither diet worked all that well given the group's excessive weight, averaging 216 pounds at the start. Those on the Atkins diet lost an average of 15 pounds by the end of 6 months, and those on the conventional diet lost 7 pounds. By the end of a year, however, each group had gained some of the weight back, with the Atkins group leading the way. Worse yet, people dropped out of both diets in droves. The sad truth is, no matter what diet people go on, they have a hard time sticking to it. It's enough to drive us back to the drinking man's diet. Then the New York Times went on to say, and I'm quoting again, it is a startling reminder of how little the experts know in this obesity-plagued nation about the best way to lose weight and keep it off. So there you are. Everyone and everything has failed. 100 million people weigh more than they want to weigh, and you have nowhere to go. By the way, if anybody wants a copy of any of the articles that I've read here, you call the station and I'll make sure you get a copy. Or you can email me at johnthomas@1310kfka.com and I will make sure that you get them. So here we are. Everybody's failed. What are you going to do? And let me tell you my view of experts. For all practical purposes, there are no experts on weight loss. And the reason is, for all practical purposes, there is no such thing as permanent weight loss. Think about it. The statistics, which I think are understated, say 97% of people who lose weight gain it back. If you don't know anybody, or very few people, who have permanently lost weight, then there's no such thing as permanent weight loss. It's an oxymoron. It may not even exist. The fact of the matter is there aren't any experts at all. Actually, you are the only expert on your weight. Nobody else counts. It is that simple. Now, I told you at the beginning of the show that we were going to explain the real problem to you, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. And fundamentally, no one has even told you yet what the real problem is until now. We're going to get right to the heart of the matter. The solution is relatively simple and it's free. And here it is. If you weigh more than you want to weigh, you really do not have a weight problem. You have a problem satisfying your emotional needs. You are using food in an attempt to satisfy your emotional needs. And let me tell you, folks, you weigh what you are emotionally comfortable weighing. Everybody does. Everybody in this life does what they're emotionally comfortable doing. The job you have is a job you are emotionally comfortable with. It doesn't put you under the emotional stress. As long as you try to satisfy your emotional needs with food, you're always going to weigh more than you want to weigh. Your weight is just a symptom of your attempts to satisfy your emotional needs with food by putting food in your mouth. It's really that simple. Keep in mind, you are always going to weigh what you're emotionally comfortable weighing. Now, people say, all right, John, what are some emotional needs? Why am I eating? Well, let's talk about it. There are lots of emotional needs. There's positive emotional needs and negative emotional needs. On a positive basis, they include the need for things like affection, love, companionship, security, friendship, acceptance, belonging, and other things that people value emotionally. When you don't get enough of those things, you find yourself eating. You don't plan to, you don't think about it. It's in kind of an involuntary knee-jerk reaction. All you know is you have to eat something. On a negative basis, your emotional needs include the need to be free of fear, anxiety, stress, concern, frustration, depression. When you feel those emotions or other emotions that you don't like, you find yourself eating. You think the food makes those emotions go away temporarily and makes you feel better. Now, you don't want to hear this. That's not pleasant. You may want to deny you eat for those reasons. You may say, not me, I don't eat for emotional reasons. I know what I'm doing. That's okay. You can deny it all you want. The fact is that you do. Now, to many of you, this may be a new concept because there are no diets involved. I'm not telling you what foods to eat or not eat. I'm not telling you what portions you should eat or not eat. But let's talk about what eating really is. When we finish, you will all agree that the reason you weigh why you weigh is what you weigh is because you're attempting to satisfy your emotional needs for food. Now, I'm about to tell you what eating is. You think that's foolish. You know what eating is. You do it all the time. Well, let's see if you really do. Eating consists of four mechanical steps. You put food in your mouth, you taste the food, you chew the food, you swallow the food. That's all there is to eating. There isn't anything more. So unless you feel very full, unless you like feeling very full, swallowing is probably not part of why you eat the way you do. Swallowing just gets food into your system. Just what you say you don't want to have happen, get more food in your system. Therefore, all eating is putting food in your mouth, tasting it, and chewing it. I know that's fundamental, but really focus on it. Since that all eating really is, we're not going to use the word eating anymore. We're going to call eating putting food in your mouth. Using different words isn't going to change anything, but it helps you focus on what you're doing. Now, you know, the food's in your mouth for just a very short time. Your problem is you have to keep putting food in your mouth, a lot of food. Putting all that food in your mouth guarantees you stay at your present weight. Why are you doing that? You're intentionally doing things that hurt you. Now, you wouldn't put your hand in a car door and slam it. You wouldn't put your hand in an open fire. You don't walk out in traffic. You know those things would hurt you, maybe kill you. Then why are you putting all that food in your mouth? What is possibly driving you? Why would you be doing it? It's just in your mouth for a very short period of time, and your problem is that you can't stop it. That is why when you go on a diet and what you call lose weight, you will always gain it back. You always have to put that food in your mouth. Now, in order to explain the answer to the question, why you have to put the food in your mouth, in my book, I've created two characters. The first character is a 150-pound woman. She used to weigh 120 pounds. Now she weighs 150 pounds. She wants to weigh 120 pounds again, but nothing she has done has enabled her to do that. The other character is a 220-pound man. He used to weigh 30 or 40 pounds less, but now he's stuck at 220 pounds, and he finds himself unable to weigh less, no matter what he's done. In the book, both these people have been through all the weight loss programs they are, and they're still stuck. Now, in the book, I had to make a choice whether to focus on the man or the woman. I chose the 150-pound woman, which is what I call her, because realistically, women, how should I put this, care a little bit more about their appearance that men do. So the first thing we're going to do is forget about the concept of losing weight. That's going to get you nowhere. The real issue that you want to focus on, and we're going to do that next, is why you weigh 30 pounds too much. After all, you don't want to weigh 30 pounds too much. How did you ever let it happen? You're an intelligent person. You know how to live your life. You have lots of responsibilities in life. You don't put your hand in an open flame or go out in traffic, because you know it'll hurt you. But there you are, putting food in your mouth intentionally, deliberately, on purpose, knowing very well exactly what is going to happen. And the thing that is going to happen is that you're going to make yourself very unhappy. You're going to jeopardize your health. You're going to make life unpleasant for yourself. And there you are. You continue to put food in your mouth and there's nothing you can do about it, at least not now. We're going to explain to you how to do things about it, and we're going to do that next week on our next show. So we will continue, and we will explain to you why you weigh 30 pounds more than you want to weigh. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed our first show. This is John Thomas saying goodbye, and I will see you next week. You know I'm talking about this weight. You know I'm talking about this weight. You know I'm talking about this weight.